But there was a time when I just couldn't wait to get older, and you know, I love the wisdom and love just being around people that are old, women and are older than I am. But in some respects, as I've thought about just how wonderful it's going to be to grow old, I'm thinking as I'm growing older that maybe I didn't have things in perspective. Because as I've grown older, I begin to receive information in the mail. And I don't know about you, but when I turned 49, I don't need to tell you how old I am, but when I turned 49, I started getting solicitations from AARP. And I can't say that I really appreciated that very much. And certainly my attitude was, I can't be old enough for such a membership, right? And you know, and as I'm writing this, it's funny, I get a solicitation, which I should have brought, right, that was a free tote bag with the AARP, and if I just sign the card, I'm in. You know? Wow. Anyway. And their website, so I went to their website, because I'm going to do some research on this AARP. They've changed their name, just because I suppose older people can't remember that it's the American Association of Retired Persons, so it's AARP now, officially. Anyway, it's a membership organization leading positive social change and delivering value to the people age 50 and over through information, advocacy, and service. Well, most of us have been or are members of some type of secular group. I just picked AARP because that's the one that I've had some solicitations from recently. But they may have a common cause that they work towards, as what they say on their website, but in and of themselves, they don't really afford any eternal value in and of themselves. But we as believing women are in Christ, and in contrast to the AARP or any other organization we can be in, we are members of the church body, which holds great eternal value and lasting positive change in our lives. And our body or our group endeavors to live a sanctified life, honoring and glorifying God, and all along helping each other along the way. So, and I don't suppose you could think of or appreciate any other organization that's diverse as the church is and yet so unified, or we should be unified. So the Apostle Paul uses the expression of in Christ about 216 times. And Debbie says, I have some time this morning, but I'm not going to go through all of the uses of that. And we did spend a little bit of time this last session on what it means to be in Christ. And so I'm not going to hit those. I'm going to talk about some new thoughts, which are not going to be new to you, but at least some that we didn't cover in our study this last time. The first place I want to go is Colossians. Because obviously, if we're going to look at being in Christ, we need to look at a little bit about who Christ is. And for those of us that have done the study on who God is and who the Spirit is and who Jesus is, kind of you've got that platform to move forward and look at, you know, what we're going to talk about this morning. But I want to read Colossians 1, 13 through 20. So Paul gives us a very descriptive picture of who Christ is here. And again, there's lots of places you can go. I just happen to love this one. For Christ rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Christ all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things hold together. Christ is also the head of the body, the church. And Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Christ himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus Christ, and through Christ to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So Paul tells us here that in Christ we have redemption. He is our Redeemer. We have forgiveness of sins, that he has created us, and he is the head of the body, the church, to name a few out of there. So when we look at what does it mean that we are, or what are we in Christ? To be in Christ simply means that when God gives a person the faith to believe, this faith places him or her in Christ. The person who believes in Jesus Christ is identified by God with Christ by the working of the Holy Spirit, which was why it was so important that we had that baseline of who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is, and how they all work together in our salvation and in our ongoing sanctification. So as believers, we're considered sinless and righteous before God. Christ has paid the penalty for our sins. So as believers, we bear no burden of the penalty for our sins. We might incur consequences for our sins now, but we don't bear the burden of the penalty for our sins. As believers, we're given eternal life and become new creatures with a new nature. So as a true believer lives and moves and has our being in Christ, this is a real vital union. Any good work in me or in you is going to be a result of us being in Christ and walking by the Spirit. Every desire to do God's will is a result of this union. So as believers, we comprise a supernatural spiritual entity. Paul calls the body, which is made possible by our salvation in Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the first and foremost thing is what we are in Christ is that we comprise a body. So there's lots of verses that talk about body, and although we're not going to discuss spiritual gifts this morning, there's a couple of verses that speak to this idea. Romans 12:5, which again is one of the ones that's in the context of Paul speaking about spiritual gifts, he says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." And then the passage I want to kind of camp on this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, it's in the context of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So the church is said to be a body, and a body of many parts or members. It's compared to the human body. And throughout the whole passage of 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31 primarily, he's using this example of the human body as a picture of Christ and of his church. So this unique spiritual oneness is nothing like the world could ever replicate. There are many believers. Each of us have our own unique personalities, and we have our own unique giftedness, and we all comprise one body, the church. Every individual person has meaning and is significant to God's kingdom, no matter who the person is, the physical limitations that we might have, and, of course, the spiritual giftedness that we possess. We're given the visual picture of a body that operates smoothly if each is doing its own function and with the entire body in mind, and despite its many parts, the body is still one organic whole. So all the parts of the body are still in the body and actually form the body and enable it to function. So I put the hand on the top of the page to have you kind of look at the hand for a minute. And, of course, you know, having some medical background, it's very interesting as you look at. I love the fact that he uses an example we can all relate to. You don't have to have a medical degree to understand that we need our hands, right, and how important they are. Well, think about this. The hand has 28 bones, give or take. Some people have more bones, but the major bones are 28 bones. We have 35 muscles in our hands. Some of them innervate from the arm up into the hand, but we're still going to count those as what we need to be able to operate and use our hands. And there's 48 nerves. That's pretty amazing. That's just for a hand. So our hand has 5 digits, or I love the word phalanges, but that's what it is, right? And we can grasp, and we can pick up, and we can pinch, and we can touch something. We have that sensation of touch, most of us do. We can feel hot or cold. We can scratch something. We can communicate sign language for those of us that are trained in that. Or we can turn the pages of our Bible or touch the pages on our, or pages on our digital gizmos, yes, our keyboards. But pretty amazing. And we also think about the hand. God has given each of us a unique fingerprint on our hand. So those are just, you know, that doesn't talk about the muscles, the tendons, all those unique things with regard to the hand. So the hand works, no, it can't work by itself. It also has to work in conjunction with all those nerves, all those muscles in the arm, the neck, the brain. So the hand is a really important part of the body, but not really any more important than any other part. So when you think about when he uses the example of body, it gives us a visual picture, and hopefully we can relate to what he meant by we're in a church body. We all as believers comprise one body. My uncle, several years ago, lost his hand and the majority of his arm in a farming accident. He got caught in a combine. And he said the most difficult part of his injury was the phantom pain, or what we call phantom pain. And he pained as if his hand was still present, and he felt it really throughout his whole body. So there was an aspect of unity in his body he no longer had, and he had that great sense. And I can't imagine, but every patient I've taken care of who has lost a limb relates that same, you know, it's just hard to explain that feeling, but it's felt throughout the whole body. It's not just, you know, the stump. It's the whole body senses this, which again kind of helps us with the picture we're painting today. So when someone in our church body is hurting or discouraged or struggling, we should respond with prayer and help or encouragement in whatever way we can. When there's cause for rejoicing and praising God, we also as a body celebrate together. The body is not one significant member, but many members. And every person who truly belongs to the body of Christ, the church, is significant and important to God. So each of us has a specific function within our body. Every member is necessary, and every member has an essential function, no matter what that giftedness is. It's all essential. So as believers, we're united in Christ, and we're united by that important work that the Holy Spirit does at the moment of our conversion. The Holy Spirit baptizes believers into one body, that is, into Christ himself. We are one because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and God then views us in Christ. When God looks at the body of Christ, he sees us, and God accepts each believer in Christ no matter who we are or what sin we've committed in the past. So we're going to look at this couple months down the road, but I want to just bring John 17:12 to you this morning as Jesus was praying in John 17:22. He says, the glory, and he's praying to God here. The glory which you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I am in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, even as you have loved me. Unity, by the fact we are in Christ, means oneness. It's oneness in Christ. It's not unity of sameness, but really of God's grace. So as sisters in Christ, we have a lot in common by God's grace. We're one in Christ. And I think if you think about that, I know for me, it's oftentimes difficult to know what to say to someone I don't know. And I think this, just going through this whole process of reminding me that we have so much in common, and that's what I want to, on your notes, the things I'm going to list. But I want to go to Ephesians 1, 1 through 14 to kind of talk about a little bit about what we as sisters in Christ have in common. And we do have a lot in common. So Paul starts out speaking to the church at Ephesus and talking about the blessings of their redemption. So I'm going to read 1 through 14. So blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So the first thing, we as believers are all blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And two, we as believers are chosen before the foundation of the world, and we're chosen to be holy and blameless in Christ. And three, we as believers in love have been predestined to be adopted as sons through Jesus. So we are adopted sons or daughters through Christ. We as believers have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our sin. So we are redeemed. We as believers have been given the capacity to understand God's will pertaining to Christ. So God's will is known to us. We as believers have obtained an inheritance in Christ. And we as believers, after hearing the gospel, believing, and then are sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit. So we're saved and we're sealed. And these are just only a few. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So number 8 is, we as believers have eternal life in him. Or it might be number 9 if you put that we're all one body. In Romans 8, 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I love that we are all loved by God in Christ, and it's an inseparable love, and we all have that. We're all loved by God. So if we relate to fellow believers as they are in Christ, being fully redeemed, being completely forgiven, and not as they are in themselves, this could change our relationship with each other. All the preceding blessings in Christ are all equally ours as believers. We are all equal in Christ. So there are so many promises given relating to being in Christ, and which apply to all of us, but yet we don't appropriate. And those, I want to just list a few of those for you to think about and consider. Again, they're all things that are promises that we can have, but that we do not appropriate in our walk with the Lord. The first one is out of 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So we're led in triumph in Christ. So we all can appropriate what we have in Christ, but not all of us do, and not all of us do every second of every day. But that's something that we have, that we can be triumphant in Christ. Next one is Ephesians 2. Jerry, would you read that one? My old Bible is missing that page. 2:13.
But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
So we can draw near to God in Christ. Philippians 4. Verses 1. He said, this is again Paul. My beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. So he's encouraged them to stand firm. And hopefully we're going to do a study later on about being steadfast and standing firm in the Lord. But we can stand firm in Christ. So this is again another promise related to being in Christ that we can apply to our walk with him. Again in that same chapter, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's 4. So we can rejoice always. He's not saying this is a matter of, well, that maybe you might, but this is possible that we can have joy always. And again, made possible through Christ. And then 4:13 that we all know, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And of course, we're talking in the context of God's promises and God's will. And I think that verse tends to be misappropriated, but we're not going to take that bunny trail this morning. And then 4:19, same Philippians. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's sometimes a hard one as women to appropriate, that we do have all we need, and everything that God feels we need, he supplies in ways that we can't even imagine. So again, another promise of appropriating what we already have in Christ. Colossians 2:6. So he's talked about in the first part of this chapter about their hearts being knit together in love and their knowledge of him, and talking about that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then he says in 6, he says, because of all these things, he says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. So we walk and live in him. In 7, it talks about the fact that we're firmly rooted and we are in the process of being built up and established in our faith. So amazing promises about how we are to walk in him and what we have in Christ. And as I was, Joni's not here, I was thinking all this week about the song that we sing about, and of course now I can't even think of it. In Christ alone. Anyway, that just kind of kept going through my mind the last 2 weeks as I've been meditating on this, that it is, our hope is found in him. And 1 John 3:3 talks about everyone who has our hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we have a purifying hope. And again, just appropriating that we have that in Christ, that we have this hope that purifies us. So it's important to keep in mind what being in Christ means, who we are, and how these very truths should affect how we live out our faith together. And I know it's really easy to get comfortable with a particular group of people and neglect other members of the body. And staying in your comfort zone is not following the one another commands. And it's not exhibiting what the unified body should look like. And it can limit how God can use you in the spiritual life of the body. And I just thank God for those who are in Christ, who've expressed Christ's love in acts of kindness towards me, in gracious forgiveness and mercy, and serving alongside me and encouraging my walk, And I've been fairly stubborn in certain areas, and I've had some loving admonishment that I didn't like. And yet I look back, and I'm very thankful for that. In fellowship, and just those faithful folks that are uplift me in prayer. And all of that's possible because we're in Christ and we're one body. These things have been expressed by people I know and by those who I may not know very well, but they've been faithfully ministering to me as unto Christ regardless. So loving one another is a sign that we are Jesus' disciples. And he said the world will know we are his if we love him and love each other. The fact that we have unity in Christ and are part of one spiritual body sets apart from any world secular organization. We're empowered to follow God's commands and enabled to love with Christ-like love. So how do you view other believers in Christ, honestly? Do you view your fellow sister as one who doesn't have anything in common with you? And then we need to go back and look at the list. Or who hasn't gotten their act together, who maybe is immature, or maybe you just can't have patience for, or maybe who's untrustworthy or unkind and unloving. Or do you view your fellow sister in Christ as one who is just equally as forgiven as you are, who's just as redeemed as you are, and who is inseparably loved by God just as you are? So our study in God's Word this next session is going to concentrate on, and if any of you have looked ahead, then you already know, we're going to be looking at encouraging one another and admonishing one another and fellowshipping with one another and praying for one another. And there's so much we can learn and apply in our lives, all of us, with respect to these four topics. And I want to encourage you as you begin your studies to remember who you are in Christ, what we've been given in Christ, what we can appropriate in Christ, and who you are in relationship to your sisters in the Lord as you approach these remaining studies. So I want somebody to read off their nine what we need to remember in Christ for the group before I close this morning. Who's brave enough to do that? Okay, Leanne.
But the list that we just...
Sure, yeah. What list did you make?
I said I'm a believer, part of a body, sinless and righteous and redeemed, prayerful encourager, essential and unique, blessed with every blessing, access to understanding God's will, adopted and fully redeemed, loved by God and Christ, saved for eternity and forgiven.
Great, great. Yeah. So, I mean, I think everybody might have come up with a little bit of a different list, but I think it's important to really go back and meditate on that and think upon that as we're moving on to a couple of the one another's that might not come naturally or might be difficult. And we want to be faithful to be diligently applying, what we're learning. And, you know, you may be a pinky finger on the hand, and yet, you know, you have value and you can encourage someone, you can admonish someone, and so we're going to really work in our groups on being diligent to encourage application of what we're learning, and so that we're not just checking off the box, I've done my study for the week, but that we're actually having our lives change as a result of being in God's Word. So let me close in prayer. Father, I just praise you and thank you for your word that you have given us, Lord. I thank you so much for how you have drawn each one of us to yourself, who has given faith for us to believe in you, that you have redeemed us and forgiven us, and Lord, that you have called us and given us every spiritual blessing. And Father, I would say that oftentimes we take for granted all that we have in you. And Father, I thank you that as you saved us and sealed us in your Holy Spirit, that you never call us to do anything that's too difficult. You never give us instructions or commands or reveal your will to us and without empowering us to be obedient. And Father, I just Thank you so much for how you haven't just saved us and left us to figure out how we're to walk in you, but that we are in Christ and that we have fellow sisters to encourage us and to admonish us and to pray for us. And Lord, I just would pray as each one of us are in, consistently in your word, that we would have hearts that are open and eager to apply what you teach us. Father, that you would help us not to be fearful to step out in areas where we might feel uncomfortable or with fellow sisters in the Lord that we don't know. Lord, I pray that as each lady goes forth to do their study this week, that you would keep them mindful of who they are in Christ, what they've been blessed with, and what they can appropriate as a result of being in you, Lord. I thank you so much for this picture of the body, Lord, that we can understand more of how we are to function and how important we are in the workings of what you've set out for us to do, Lord. And I just thank you so much for each woman here, for their faithfulness to be in your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless each one and help them to go out rejoicing today in knowing that you have blessed them with all spiritual blessing. Father, I pray that you would, I just thank you for each woman that has lovingly provided food for us today, that our fellowship would be sweet and honoring to you. And I just thank you so much for the privilege of being able to come together as women to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.